Everybody, how you guys doing? Welcome back to this week's podcast. I'm Alex.
And it's Jesse. We're back.
We're here to do another wonderful, fabulous podcast. We're going to talk about some pretty cool things today. Jesse, how you been doing?
I'm good. Let's make sure that everybody out there in YouTube land can see and hear us, because it's not a Linux podcast if you don't troubleshoot on the air.
I got nobody in the chat yet.
That's okay. Levels look good. I saw your initial chats from earlier. So, yeah, it's been an interesting week for me. I didn't rage quit this time.
No rage quitting?
No rage quitting. Although, if I remember right, I think I saw in the Discord either last night or this morning... my mic is a little blown out, Melissa says. Oh, thank you, Melissa.
Thank you, Miss Melissa.
So I'm going to pull it down just a little bit here. Thank you, thank you, thank you. And I guess we should be better now. You know, I think it's weird that our levels that we see don't always match with what YouTube does. But, yeah. Melissa, is it a little bit better now that I pulled the mic down some?
Hope so.
Me too. Better.
Yay. Woohoo.
I am sending out a message right now over Discordia. Over Discordia. I just sent out a message over Discordia that we are actually on. Hopefully we'll have some people joining the chat.
Oh, of course. You know, we always got our folks that like to straggle in. It's a Saturday morning. Yeah. You know, nobody's awake right now.
No. Well, maybe. Or they're just still coming off their like 29-hour freaking binge session of either, you know, like gaming or whatever, you know, doing live games or, you know.
Are you kidding? Some people aren't even in bed yet from last night. I remember gaming like that. And now instead of playing games or practicing guitar, I install software.
Install software? Hola!
Hey.
That's Hisham. Oh, nice.
Nice. So, yeah, what I was saying when we were joking about rage quitting, I think I saw over in the Discord that Hammerhead was getting ready to rage quit something.
Oh, he watched the video that I did on Zenwalk Slackware, and he wasn't a Slackware kind of guy. And I said, you know, he says, it looks interesting though. I said, well, you know what? I told him, I said, go ahead,
give it a try.
I said, give it a try. Yeah. I was like, go ahead, give it a try. It's an oldie, but a goodie. You know, I mean, been around a while, this, that, and other. He has issues with the builds, the Slackware. That for
right.
building your programs and stuff in there. So,
I always thought using slapped-get as the syntax was a little cheesy.
Yeah. But so, I mean, it's, you got to understand that you're trying to get probably what was a 1990s early 90s reference, you know, of a joke to today's modern time, which just, you know, it's outdated. So anyhow, so he tried it and then, you know, he forgot, you know, how much he hated the slack, you know, get and all that kind of crap. And so, so he's like, forget this. I'm rage quitting. So he decided to quit and he went back. He's going to Nutix.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And he wants me to do a review on Nutix. He's asked me to do a review on Nutix. So I figured I might go ahead and look into that. But, you know. Yeah. I don't know where at Tenley J or Josh is at, but
somebody get him to crash through the wall like the Kool-Aid man.
Because he requested a Gentoo video and I got one coming out
Yeah. Word on the street is if you want him to show up, you have to turn off all the lights and say Gen 2 three times over an SSD.
Probably. So,
Josh.
We love Josh. I love Josh. He, you know.
Yeah.
We're going to have to get him on the show one time, for sure.
Oh, 100%. You know, before I get into today's first topic, I want to say I almost wound up giving Gen 2 a try this week.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Nice.
I was having.
Alyssa says that your mic is still a little off.
Maybe I'll just put it up here. Hopefully that's better.
Yeah, there you go.
The levels look good. And, you know, on sound check, we were fine. So I'm confused.
It's just the way it comes across, man. I don't know. OBS and Discord and all that does some weird crap.
Yeah. OBS does what it does. YouTube does what it does.
Mm-hmm. So you almost gave Gen 2 a try.
I almost did because I played with, let's see. She doesn't know how to explain. That's fine.
That's fine.
Thank you. We'll definitely do a after the show tinker.
Yep.
Is it unbearable?
I think you sound. I could, you know, hear you okay, and you sound.
I have a feeling that she's actually describing an EQ. Quality of life.
What's up, Ben? Ben from Storm OS is in the chat, and he's on Gen 2. He says, "Interesting."
That's it. This is now officially a Gen 2 video.
It is officially a Gen 2 video, and Josh can be happy.
Okay, so cool things out in Linux world. Ben's being friendly. So, if you do any sort of graphic work on Linux, whether it's games or production or whatever, you have probably encountered Mesa drivers. Mm-hmm. And if you're new to Linux, before you install your NVIDIA proprietary drivers, if you have it, or the AMD drivers, you're going to be using Mesa out of the box.
Right.
So, the quarterly release for 2023, Mesa 23.2 is out, and it was actually delayed a little bit, but there's a lot of people who are excited.
I'm showing them the article right now.
Yeah. So there's a ton of ray tracing updates and things are being done for AMD cards. I'm hearing that AMD is going to be blowing things out of the water because they're moving towards being very ray tracing heavy.
Right.
So I'm really excited because the release of this version of Mesa and also the open source NVIDIA Vulkan drivers are finally coming out.
Nice.
They're working on pipeline caching right now. So I'm really excited to see what Nouveau is going to look like in the coming months.
Okay, so So you're like mixing two topics that you were.
Yeah.
Okay. So
because I think you can't really talk about one without the other because
you can talk about them independently. You definitely can.
I mean, you could, but the Mesa updates are actually rolling over in part into the NVK drivers too.
Right.
That advertisement photo is bloated. Oh boy.
Sorry.
So have you guys
good morning DT, how you doing?
Used Nouveau recently because I did to do some installs, and that's probably all I would do with it in its current state.
So I don't have NVIDIA. I haven't used NVIDIA for years. I switched to AMD a long time ago. Honestly, what piques my interest is the ray tracing improvement, because I got to tell you, when I got my XT card, right, and I put it in my box and I used it, and there was that whole ray tracing thing, and you know, they were talking about, and I went from an R9 to that. And so when I did that, the upgrade was like visually stunning. I mean, my eyeballs probably just wound up like having an orgasm. You know what I'm saying? It was like, what the hell? It was such a difference, right? And the one part that stood out to me was the actual ray tracing that they were talking about. I could finally see what the difference was that everybody's making all the rage about. I mean, it was just the light shadowing and all that was just so amazing. I was like, holy cow. I mean, this is what I've been missing out on, you know? And I'm not a huge gamer, you know? And I think that could be...
No, good graphics make a huge difference in your computing experience in general.
Well, yeah, in general, completely. I mean, especially in what my mind went to is like when I started, you know, creating actual, you know, like backgrounds and stuff for different videos, you know, and that kind of stuff, you know, doing, you know, editing pictures and stuff like that. That's where I could see a lot more clarity and detail too. And I was simply stunned, you know, at the quality that was coming out of the graphics card. And what was even better is, you know, I didn't have to buy as DT said, you know, about bloated, I didn't have to buy a super bloated price for screen, you know, to get the same quality out of AMD is Team Red.
Yeah, I mean,
I literally spent fractions. I think I spent like $300 on the graphics. Got it on the.
I think that my last AMD card wasn't even an AMD card. I think it was still when they were ATI graphics.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to say it might have been an AGP card. So.
Oh. Wow.
If you're playing at home and you know what AGP is, your back hurts, and I'm sorry.
It was back when they were literally like a 16th the size of what they are today in graphics card. Wow.
Oh, yeah, and I've been Team Green for a long time, mostly. By the way, I use Intel Arc. Oh my God.
Josh is in the house.
I knew if we said Gen 2 enough times, he would show up.
Right.
You use the proprietary. Yeah. You know, DT, I have to say you're right. Now,
I've advised everybody of that, to use the proprietary. Go download it from their webpage, install them. You know, that's exactly my advice.
I use the DT. Do you use repo versions or do you use the direct download from NVIDIA? I know that Alex and I have a difference of opinion on that. I don't like doing the manual install because I like having the DKMS version so that I'm not reinstalling every time there's a kernel update.
You know,
okay. Josh said my audio is completely blown out.
Oh my God.
Okay. So Melissa heard it. We're not hearing it.
Go ahead and make whatever. By the way, Josh, next Monday is going to be a video just for you on Gen 2. You got no sound now, Jesse.
No sound.
Well, now barely heard you. Ben says he has NVIDIA on his primary laptop. He won't touch Novu with a 10-foot pole. Yeah, it's just better to download the proprietary ones and use them. Whether you do the DKMS or the manual install, to me is kind of irrelevant. But you know, it's whichever one you're most comfortable with, I think. But they're both way better than Novu. No sound.
Because I'm getting
now we've got sound from you.
That is very strange. I'm watching my levels in OBS and I could hear them the whole time. So something weird is going on. We got gremlins in the stream. I think
do I sound all right, guys?
I hope so.
Somebody in the chat let me know if it's the stream or maybe it's just Jesse's mic.
Yeah, I like the open kernel drivers too. Mm-hmm. They've been improving quite a lot. Not the Nuvo, but depending on your distro, it's NVIDIA.
Yeah, you're very low volume on you.
The pre-10 series, actually work better on Nuvo.
Right. Okay, thanks, Josh. I'm fine.
Yeah, it it makes sense that the unsupported cards are going to work better on something like Nouveau. What are you thinking as far as Nouveau versus the NVIDIA Dash Open? Because I've used that some, and...
What's up, Danny?
Yeah, Hammerheart, what's up? So, yeah, we are struggling with my mic today. OBS lies to us today. And what I'm seeing on the level meter is not what you guys are getting in YouTube.
You're sounding
land.
Better now.
Okay.
Ben says he has RTX 2060 on, so Nouveau doesn't work for him at all. Which... That's kind of understandable too. I mean,
yeah,
you know,
I have a feeling doing the 1650, I'm probably going to be a candidate for Nouveau soon.
Probably, yeah.
Yeah, because by NVIDIA standards, that's getting older.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you know, NVIDIA is doing a whole thing now. I mean. Another reason why I'm glad I jumped to NVIDIA is because they're seemingly trying to put their focus on their AI computing chipsets and stuff, you know, in their chips that they're building, and almost making gaming GPUs like secondhand thought. You know, it's like, oh yeah, we got these extra,
yeah,
you know, we can use them for this.
Into, right, they're getting into
where the money's at.
And
they're playing the same corporate chill game where they're going where the money's at, you know? And yep. And that's what they're focusing on because that's their future. So
yeah, that makes sense. So, guys, I pulled some bass out of my mic and hopefully that'll alleviate some of that blown out audio you're hearing.
You're sounding a lot better to me right now. So
okay,
but so I think that's where I think that's where their heart and their mind's at right now. So I don't know that I mean, I don't think the support for NVIDIA is going away in any way, shape, or form for new and existing, because, I mean, that's still a revenue stream for them, you know? And
yep.
It's going to be a backup revenue stream. And so...
TT. AI is one of game two.
Right. So, I mean, that's still a viable revenue stream. So that being said, when they go into it, they're going to give enough support to make it a viable, marketable item and you know, work, you know, decently, that and other. But I don't think the push is going to be outside of making money on it, you know, to actually create these drivers super fast or the support to be extended for older cards or anything like that.
Right. Well, another thing I think we should talk about with the Mesa Stable release is, you know, Intel is making some leaps here. We've got, you know, 265 support coming in on Intel graphics.
On the ARC? You mean the ARC cards?
On ARC, and I think it's at the driver level. So we might actually be seeing it on non-ARC cards too. And I think that's really cool because 265 is so much more resource light.
Well, yeah, I mean, advanced, you know, I mean, it's next stage, you know, so yeah, I think yep. that's going to be, you know, I think the Intel ARCs, I was talking to Josh about it, you know, on.
I would be really excited to try one, not going to lie. I think Wayland is something that I really am going to.
And that's what he was saying, that he was really noticing the difference on it, that it's better that way. And, you know, I think they're, you know, budding like they are, they're starting out coming this way. And it's just, I think they're going to grow really, really fast. They've got lots of already, you know, he's on AV1, H265. Yep. Yeah. So they've already got a lot of
AV1 is the future.
Yeah. And they've already got the groundwork laid out for them by AMD and everything else. So they can just build upon that already. So like they're going to catch up really, really quick. And those ARC cards are going to be phenomenal. Now the question is, are they still going to be budget friendly?
You know, I'm actually wondering if the ARC cards are going to be a little bit of a sleeper for a while, where they're going to sort of sit there undervalued, and a driver update or two is just going to bring them out into where they were intended to land in the first place.
You know, I don't see that being a non-factor. I think you're right on that. I think it will it will come out like that, where they're just gonna like they're figuring crap out right now. They're getting shit fine tuned, so to speak, right? They're getting everything right. Dialed in, and then all of a sudden they're just gonna come out like, you know, they're gonna start going for Mike Tyson right off the bat. You know, they're just gonna come out swinging heavy as hell, and yeah. And I think they're gonna be pretty badass cards.
Yeah, and you know, and again, I'm mixing some topics here, but mm-hmm. The fact that it's going to benefit the NVIDIA Vulcan driver, you know, it would be nice to see a better open source implementation for NVIDIA graphics, because, you know, it's just lagging behind. It's the Nickelback of the Linux driver world. Everybody wants to hate on the...
Because it wants to be a rock star, right?
Yeah, well, and everybody is tired of hearing it. OBS did not like the encoder card. Oh yeah.
Oh wow. For his NVIDIA card. See, NVIDIA. Well, NVIDIA just gets you on every level, man.
Yeah, but I wish that I got to experience the hype for like.
Oh, Dad. Josh brings up a great point. Sorry to mean to cut you off. He says that they're gonna be sleepers until DirectX support. For the older and the DX12s are finally not being used as commonly. He brought up a great point, man. That is so true.
Yep.
DT says he didn't realize until the next day when he opened OBS and his computer froze. That'll get you.
So, Josh, are you saying like the ARC cards are ahead of its time? Because that's kind of what I'm hearing from that.
But yeah, NVIDIA just gets everybody. I mean, on all kinds of different levels, man.
You know, and it's so sad because, you know, coming from dual booting, coming from using Windows, mm-hmm. unfortunately, the state of NVIDIA drivers right now, you are leaving so much performance on the table under Linux that you know, and it's frustrating.
Yeah, Josh says, no, they're not ahead of their time. But,
okay.
It is, and I'm...
The driver's just not in the same place. The software is not in the same place.
No, well, like I said, you know, it's fast becoming an afterthought. You know, every great empire falls as it struggles and falls. And I think that's literally what you're looking at on in the NVIDIA world. It's sad, but, you know, at least there are other products out there, you know, just to wrap up the segment, you know, at least there are other products out there that are becoming very, well, that are viable and... are going to handle the workload that NVIDIA is kind of slacking.
Yeah.
This week, for me, I needed to, I'm trying to do some work around my computer right now, my Linux OS, which I still haven't made my official switch to my new, what's going to be my new daily driver yet. I haven't been able to do it because I've been backing up a lot of stuff, you know, migrating a lot of files, that kind of stuff. Right. Yep. And one of the things is that, you know, I'm an old fashioned guy. You see, I got crap where I write all kinds of crap, like,
right.
You know, envelopes or paper or whatever. And so yeah,
you gotta be careful and make those preparations before you switch to something like Gentoo. It makes sense.
Yeah, you're right. And so for me, you know, I was like, trying to bring myself more into the more modern world, you know, from the stone and tablet age that I'm used to come into the more modern world. And I was looking for an actual note taking app. I ran across one actually over on It's Foss. I was doing some reading for the show and stuff like that. And so I came across it on It's Foss, and it's called Beaver Notes. We're going to talk about some beavers today, baby.
This is a family stream. Excuse me.
What? The cute, lovable brown furry pet. What do you want? So I found this little thing I'm showing them right now. It's called Beaver Notes. And what got me is it's a private open source note taking app, because as most of the note apps that you run across, they're actually, you know, like cloud based and stuff like that. And so you're keeping your stuff, some of your private thoughts, maybe not so private thoughts, because depending on the type of person you are, out there in the ether. And of course, you know, you can get hacked or whatever, you know what I'm saying? And any information out there could be just be gotten. Well, this one actually, what's nice about it is it keeps it locally on your PC for you to use, which I thought was really, really nice. And so I installed it, and that's what I'm looking at, and I'm showing them right now. Awesome. How, you know, I have like the Discord bad boy snack ops unit, the Linux tube, you know. And what's cool is, you know, you can go and actually have them, like, you have favorites, you know, they're marked down available. They got different modes like force mode, you know, focus mode, and all kinds of good stuff, you know. I mean, the two bottom ones that you're seeing right here, this markdown formatting and the welcome to Beaver notes, those are actually ones that they put in there for you to read and stuff like that. But I mean, you could actually, like, when you go to create a note, I mean, you have where you can like, you know, bold it, italicize it, underline it, you know, you can highlight it, you can do, you know, like a numbered list, you can do a bullet point list. I mean, it's very flexible. It's actually a full, almost like a suite. It's pretty awesome, you know, for what it is. And I thoroughly enjoy it very much. And I've been using it now for probably a solid week. I mean, I cleaned up, you know, the notes I had, cause I was going to show my actual instant on there. Right. And I, hey, what's up, Waffles? And he didn't know he was a bad boy. No, but you know, I've been using it for a week now and it's been so helpful. You know, and the cool part about it is it's also cross-platform. So you could use it across multiple, you know, operating systems and devices as well. So, okay. I mean, it's been, how are the notes stored? Just a bunch of plain text files? Yes. I think they're a bunch of plain text files. But, you know, it's been really helpful. And what I like about it is it's actually stored locally. You know, to me, that was important, you know, because like we tried doing the whiteboard. I mean, a lot of people, when we first set up the podcast, we were doing our first one. I tried doing a whiteboard across, I think it was like Google Drive or something like that. I can't remember what it was across, but we tried doing a whiteboard and that was just a hassle, you know, where this one is cool.
What's the draw to you to have it being local versus something that's cloud-based?
Security. You don't GPG encrypt everything. No, not always, but I have. That's like the Freedom Software Foundation recommends. Yeah, GPG key everything. Yeah, no, but I like having it local. I like having control, of what's being exposed, you know what I mean, as anybody should. If you're not security minded or focused on what data or what information you're putting out there, I mean, that's crazy. Like I see on, you know, I'm dating myself here, but I see like on Facebook all the time where they got all these things where people are posting, hey, what's your favorite place to go eat, or what's your favorite place to visit, or what's your birthday, you know your birth month and years kind of stuff, you know, they're doing all this stuff. Yeah, exactly. They're data mining, you know, and that's for a reason. So if they're doing that, dude, imagine them trying to get to your notes and stuff like that, where people are going to keep like password notes, you know,
grocery list, dude.
Yeah, exactly.
Nobody cares about our grocery
list. But people do. There are people out there who write notes for what their passwords are and tape it to their freaking monitor. So people would do that in a note. I have
some of my church tech consulting clients do stuff like that, or they'll have, you know, notebooks, literal notebooks full of passwords.
But there's some people that'll have digital notepads on their phones or on their PC or their laptop if they're working, and they'll put that out there, and that's cloud-based. So then now people have access to that.
Right, and you know, if they just go to today's sponsor, LastPass, I'm kidding, we're not sponsored.
We're not sponsored. We're so not LastPass, sponsored.
If you're out there, pay some attention to us. I like LastPass, actually.
Didn't they just get hacked?
I hope not. Boy, would that be
embarrassing. Or was it password sites got hacked? I think it was LastPass.
I hope not. Sticky note is better than the text file. I agree with that. But I like sticky notes all the way going back to like Mac OS X, like Snow Leopard. Around then is when I started using like desktop sticky notes. And I agree that they're great. When I've worked in call centers, I made use of those, you know, to like copy and paste my notes for different stuff or things like that.
Well, I know there were widgets. There were widgets for a while that had notes that were like sticky notes too, widgets.
Yeah, I think Windows might still have that. And I think you can do it in different versions on the Linux desktop.
I know KDE used to have it.
Definitely preferred like an icon-free, clutter-free desktop these days.
I love my real estate on desktop. I like to, you know, I have a background picture for a reason because I like to see it.
Right, right.
LastPass. I was right. LastPass leaked customer information. The customer vault for every account, which is the worst kind of hack. That's right.
We're going to have to take some clips out of today's episode and really start putting together a blooper and gag reel because that is prime content for it. Like, hey, I love LastPass.
And DT's absolutely right. They all get hacked eventually. And that is exactly supporting my conversation of why you want to keep everything as local as you can.
Yep.
You know, keep it local because, I mean, like I said, you know, you put, especially like notes, a lot of people don't pay attention to notes. Notes is where people write pretty sensitive information because they want a reminder of it.
Right.
You know, and so, I really like Beaver Notes is because, like I said, it's actually local. Even though it's a text file or whatever, it's still local, you know, and to me, it's more protected that way than if I were in the ether. And DT says he didn't back up his keys the last time. It was a sad time. Yeah. I mean, it's such a shame, you know, that, well, you know, as the old saying says, in you know, the old hacking thing, if man makes it, man can break it, you know, and people are out there determined whether they're doing it for malicious intent, whether they're doing it for just shits and giggles, you know, fun, you know, can I do it kind of thing.
It doesn't matter. It's the fact that it gets
done. Exactly. And so, you know, you got to safeguard yourself. Yeah. You got to safeguard yourself. And I'm hoping that, you know, putting that note out there is something, you know, that note app out there is something that could help somebody else down the road. You know, I mean, is it the fanciest, greatest looking thing? No, it's kind of plain. You know what I'm saying? But it does the job.
It's there to take notes.
Yep. It does the job. So, basically,
I'll have to give it a shot. Thank you for bringing us in on that.
Yeah, no worries, man. So, I guess you talked about your Nauvoo drivers already, so that was your second topic.
Hey, so now I really think that it belonged there because, you know, the one is helping the other.
I understand that, and that's good, you know, that they are helping each other. But so now my next topic that I wanted to talk about, which is something that shouldn't have to, I don't even know why it hasn't been there for a while. It's kind of like the thumbnails for you know, files, you know what I'm saying, in them not having it until just recently. And it's Mozilla finally gets translation natively, you know what I'm saying. I mean, how long is Chromium, and this is more specific to people like, you know, us who are content creators that are scouring the net for, you know, articles and stuff on different, you know, things that we do cover for one use, like me as a, you know, distro reviewer. There's a lot of distros that are written and their web pages are written in their natural language. And when you use Firefox, it's hard to actually, you have to get an extension and all this other stuff, try to translate. And even then it's not good. Well, Firefox now has it. To where in 118, it's got it natively, and you got to go through that. It's still not an automatic thing where you just click on the page and it does it, but you go to the hamburger menu, you go to the translation section, and then it'll just natively translate it there by clicking on it. And then you want to switch back, you got to go back to the original language, show original. But nonetheless, it's there. It's an improvement over what it was. Also, they did an enhancement in 118 on video effects, and the suggestions now for add-ons are going to be in the address bar, and web audio in Firefox now makes the FD Libum, I can't say it, math library to improve its privacy. So it's being more secured. Those are the enhancements they made, but the most important one is the actual native translation. And I can't begin to tell you, like my recent video, Rosa Linux, the Russian-based distribution that I just did. Go to their website. You will see that it's 100% in Russian. And when you click the like I did it in Vivaldi, you click the translate button, bam, it automatically just translates the page. I could read it, but it still had kind of a little nag bar at the top. Hoping that Firefox isn't that way. You know, I haven't did the 118, you know, build yet to see it, but at any instance, you know, I'm hoping that it cleans it up a little bit better. And it will. If not, I'm sure in the next iteration it will. But that's just finally a great thing.
Yeah, I would agree.
Josh says Firefox's translation is done on the machine. Right. And Chromium is done on the servers. Correct. But I think it's going to be doing it on the servers now instead of on the machine, according to what they're saying. But either way, I'm excited for that. It'll make my workload a little bit easier. So I'm enjoying Brave. I've been having a lot of issues with Brave here recently, and I don't know why.
You know, I was wondering if you were going to talk about that, because, you know, we spend a lot of time together during the week, and I see your frustrations there.
Yeah,
but you,
and it's,
you're kind of a champion of Brave.
Yeah, and I have been, and people know that I have been for a while, and for some reason I don't know why, but I've been having a lot of frustrations. Like, theming is getting broken all over the place now. All of a sudden, other extensions that I had weren't working. I've already gotten rid of them. I can't remember the one exactly, but some of the extensions that I was using are getting broken as well. I don't know what's going on with Brave. I mean, Brave Search is still fantastic, you know, but just the basic day-to-day stuff that I use, I've been having issues with. And so I switched over to Firefox, and of course, some of the old, you know, Firefox aggravations that I had were there. You know why I left Firefox? Were there, but I'm learning to Vivaldi is where I'm migrating to. Actually, I'm starting to, I've used it, I've downloaded, I've been you know, doing stuff, Opera. I've been doing things in Vivaldi, and I'm actually really liking Vivaldi. One of the things I really like about Vivaldi is the actual sidebar that's on it. I mean, you can get it in Brave as well, but its expandability and flexibility and customization with it is bar none fantastic. I was blown away with that little sidebar, from bookmarks to different, you know, you can add whatever you want onto it, you know, and it's just new ice cast. Wow, DT's really dating himself. But Vivaldi's actually coming along really, really well. I really enjoy it. And so for me, Firefox is more of a stepping stone or like a jumping platform. It's a fail-safe backup. But Vivaldi's really sweet. If you have not played with Vivaldi, start playing with it. Even their start page is way better than like Brave's, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah.
it's pretty cool. The themes now, you know, like getting what I like about Vivaldi too, themes, you know, like you with Firefox and all those guys, you go to like their theming page, and you can actually download the preset themes that they have and install it and get them to work right. Plus it uses a system, you know, some system theming stuff like that. Well, Vivaldi does all that, but they actually have user generated themes, and they have, I would say, 15 times more than any of the other actual browsers out there. Yeah, and not is it just color themes. I'll try it when Vivaldi finally admits that they're not open source. Okay. I'm not hung up on those kind of things. That's what Josh says. But anyhow, the thing is, their user-generated themes isn't just on, like, the color themes. I'm talking, it's, like, whole layouts, the whole button reformats and stuff like that. I mean, there's all different kinds. You just plug and play, and it's pretty awesome. Waffle says they thought they made a statement saying that they only made the UI, and it's not open source. It's you know, more than likely. I said, I'm just recently switched. I don't know the history. I don't know the history so much of Vivaldi as much as somebody actually, Dark Zero. He told me to try. I don't know where he's at. That's true. Where is he at? He's usually here. But anyhow, he told me to try it. You know, give it a try. And I tried it, and I was blown away. He showed me some of the other things, you know, that he does with it. Now, it's not something that I would use, but as a developer, it's actually a wonderful browser for them as well, from what he's saying. And I was blown away with the complexity and the actual. It's later. It's well, it makes sense why Steve would like it, because it's literally the KDE version of browsers. if I had to describe it, it's literally the KDE version. I mean, there isn't one thing on it you can't customize.
See, what's the rendering engine it's using? Is it Qt? Is it GTK? What is it built on?
I want to say it's Qt. I think it's Qt.
Because if so, then I might try it, since I'm having a love affair with LXQT.
Yeah. Oh, DT says Brave has a new version in AUR. Time to rebuild binary for his repos. I'm glad I could remind you that.
Yeah. So Josh said that if we do it, I don't know if you caught, but I'm
no
being goofy, and I said the next podcast was going to be in Morse code.
Oh, and Josh is probably the only one out there who could probably read it.
Yeah.
Arch really needs to maintain Brave in their own standard repos. Yeah, yes, they do. And that's another thing that I don't understand. I mean, that's not on Brave. That's actually on Arch. But that is another thing that I don't understand, is why the repos. And, you know, that's another topic we can talk about, too, is your discovery with Pac-Man on your.
Oh, we had a fun time last night.
Yeah, but I don't understand why some of those things that are the basic ones that a lot of people use, like Brave, aren't really maintained on their repos. You know, I agree with you, Steve. Yeah. I mean, DT. They definitely. Sorry about that. Steve's almost got as much hair as DT. Almost. He's working on it. But yeah. I mean, it makes no sense to me. You were always kind of felt like a cop out for not having good repos. I don't want to use AUR for every. Well, no, you shouldn't. PPA, you really though. Shouldn't be using AUR for every package. Only the ones that you know and trust to use. I mean, because every time I've had severe package breakage, it's always been an AUR repo or package that's done it.
Or, what if you use the AUR because you are clean building all your packages, treating it like Gentoo with an Arch base?
You're still at risk, man. I mean, those packages. I mean, those packages are so insane. So I mean, you get great ones out of there, and when you do, it's like, yeah, great. And then you get some that are just like it's not something that is like extremely important, but it'll break your crap. You know, like an innocuous type of package, it'll just break everything. It's like, that's the one thing that I like, and I always tell people, use the actual distros repos first, because they test those for their distro to make sure that they work.
Yep.
You know, and Ben says he's had breakages on Arch, and their keyring and Calamaris, it's annoying as hell. Yeah, there's a couple of times where I've had the keyring get locked, and you just got to run the unlock command, and it'll unlock them.
Yep.
You know, that is definitely another thing that's an issue with Arch. Arch is not perfect, but then again, it's never claimed to be perfect. You know, and that's an argument that I had in discussion with Steve, and he talked about it on Matt's podcast about, you know, a lot of these people, like even Ben, you know, a lot of these people create these Arch distributions, and they make it so seemingly deceptively easy for noobs to get into, when really it's not. It's an actual rolling release type distribution, and you're going to experience those kind of breakage. You got to be a little bit more savvier than just a GUI writer, you know, a GUI jockey, you know what I'm saying, and actually get into some command line stuff. What?
New GNU Icecat is in Arch's core repos.
So there's that.
I mean, Arch breaks Bash.
Yeah. I mean, so
oh man,
yeah. I mean, so that's something that you know, that's something that a lot of distro creators, developers, and maintainers, when they're forking an Arch distro to make yet another useless distro.
So Raffles, I want to hear more about this. Arch bricked a motherboard with a grub update, but it was something systemd related.
What
happened here?
I've never heard. I mean, I've heard of grub update, you know, breaking stuff, but I never heard of bricking a motherboard.
Right. What is happening? Where is it writing to?
That's what I'm wondering. What is it writing to that it was going to do that on a motherboard? But anyhow, you know, they make these distributions, you know, to be so seemingly and deceptively easy that people think that they're going to get into it and they're not going to experience anything like that. Well, if they're real, I mean, if you think about it, we are talking about Linux. Yeah, Linux can break at any moment, any time, just because you did something simple, you know, on accident. So most init systems didn't mount EFI vars, so a failed grub update will wipe them off your BIOS. Okay. Most of this enthusiast, you don't have to learn the terminal. Alex, don't be a terminal. No way, man. Love my terminal. But anyhow, it's true. You know, it's very true. I mean, a lot of these people get it, you know, and a lot of friends are recommending these types of Linux to people who need to start off, you know, on a much more stable platform than a rolling release. At least make it a non-rolling release, you know what I'm saying? Josh says EFI systems, you actually do write to the SPI flash chip on the motherboard when you update boot entries. EFI boot manager can show you. Yeah. So, but I've never heard of it bricking a motherboard, though. That's why I was like, I knew about the writing stuff. I just know about the bricking the motherboard. That's interesting. Are you sure it wasn't just a coincidental thing, Waffles, that it was that it just went, the chip went bad at the same time that an update happened? Pottery says it was intended. Well, he's working for Microsoft now, so he doesn't count anymore. But so, what are you so intensely concentrating on?
Oh, I was trying to be funny.
Oh,
typing out stuff in the chat.
It's similar to doing the RMF that RF. Okay, yep. I get you.
No, I'm just making bad puns, you know, as I do.
Right. So, tell me about your newfound love affair with Pac-Man.
Oh, man. So,
the package manager.
Pac-Man. I like Pac-Man. I like terminal package management more than I like GUI package management. It's faster. It feels more like using Linux. You know, that little part of our brain that wants to pretend we're a hacker because we're not booting up Windows. But I was actually talking to Alex during our weekly meeting on Friday, and he asked me if I had tweaked the variable for parallel downloads in Pac-Man. And I hadn't done much digging on it. And so we started playing with that. And what did you tell me? You said set it to like 20 or something, didn't
right,
you?
15, 20.
It was at the default of 5.
Yeah.
And so we did it. We set it to 10, refreshed, and I got to watch it just go with, you know, all 10. It's like, screw this. Let's try 20. So we spent a half an hour looking for packages with more and more dependencies just so that we could see what happened. And we ultimately got to something where I tried 50 parallel downloads and that worked.
Mm-hmm.
Then we set it to 100.
Yeah, you went to 100. After that. You went like banana shit crazy, that. Man.
Right. And so last night we found something. I tried to install something that had what, 65 dependencies.
Mm-hmm.
And it just one-shotted them all because we had set it to 100. And I really couldn't find anything with more dependencies to download that I didn't already have. Because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I could...
We were searching forever.
For this. I keep all my dependencies after I build. Most sensible
distros five. Yeah, or five, yeah. Some of them don't have it set at all. Yep. Manjaro still doesn't have... Yeah, they just still don't have it set last. No, they don't. I was reading up on that too, and they don't. We were looking at that as well. Yeah.
DT, what's the logic there? Are you? I've heard that it's hardware resource management. Where is the bottleneck going to show up? Is it going to hit your CPU first? Is it going to hit your RAM first? Why are we keeping it at five?
I think a lot of people keep it at five just because it's sensible. And that it's much like the same reason why ISO, you know, a lot of distros don't try to make their ISO so big, especially developers that are working outside of the US, because a lot of them are, you know, metered internet,
CPU.
You know, and yeah, CPU, and they're metered internet as well. So I don't think it's so much as the bottleneck for the bottleneck of the CPU, because also, you know, you don't know the CPUs, but also for internet reasons as well.
Yeah, I guess the reason that I went hog wild on it, you know, I'm very blessed and fortunate that Gig is affordable.
Yeah, see, DT's saying what I'm saying, third world users, right. Which is true. Yeah.
Yeah. So like if we're here in the States or in a country with more developed infrastructure, I guess, you know, setting it to some stupid number isn't
if you're on
bad.
Gigabit I mean, think about it, it's parallel downloads. How many of the dependency packages parts is it going to download at the same time? You're telling it literally to do 20,
tiny.
Which is going to speed it up, right? Five is very tiny, but then if you're on gigabit internet like you and I are, you could bump that to whatever. And you're like you said, it one shot it. What was it? Was it a browser?
No, it wasn't a browser. It was Ardour.
Ardour, yeah, Ardour. It just one shot instantly.
We chewed through it.
Yeah, really, and that had three stages that it was doing too.
Yeah, it did like some downloads and a build and downloads.
Every
HTTP connection actually has a bandwidth requirement.
Yeah.
Hey, that's cool.
So yeah, I mean, it's like chewed through it. I mean, it's cool when you can play with things, and really to me, it was the how do I put it? It shows the flexibility of Linux and the package manager. As well. And I mean, you take it to the next level. I mean, you went way beyond the next level. You were like on crack stratosphere level, bro.
I was drunk with power.
You were drunk. Everything. Yeah, I mean, you were way out there on that. I was like, wow, I've seen 20, you know, at the most. When you went to 50, I was like, what?
Hey,
are you sure? What's up, Springles? How you doing?
Just got off work.
Nice. How was work? Hopefully it was good.
We're talking about unlimited parallel downloads in Pac-Man. Yeah, distros
have to work on potatoes.
Works on potatoes.
And that's why they set those. And that's exactly why they set those like parallel downloads to like five. I said, it's also like I was trying to make earlier. The comment I was trying to make earlier is that, oh nice man, what's up, Ruse79 from Australia. He's in my Discord too. He's in our Discord.
Because of mobile broadband, absolutely.
Yeah, exactly.
Makes sense. Yep.
Yeah, and that's what I'm saying. That's why most people set it at five, because they're not sure if they're hitting that kind of, you know, user or not. And let's face it, most of the Linux users, you know, are hardcore heavy Linux users are outside of the United States and those areas where they've got actual, you know, metered internet.
Yeah, and honestly, it makes sense to use Linux when resources are limited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, I mean, it makes sense, but last night, it was fun playing with yours last night.
Oh, yeah, it was just watching that happen in real time. It's like, okay.
Yeah, I mean, Ardour, when you did Ardour, dude, I was like, what? It was insane. It was insane.
You know, Josh, I was hoping you would catch this at the beginning of today's episode. Hey, Ru, how you doing? So... what I was saying is that it actually made me miss my Gen 2 days.
Yeah.
It made me miss it because I'm like, how far can I tweak this? How far can I push it? You know, how many microscopic bits of performance can I extract from this machine? So,
Josh, if
I can get it to where I'm doing a custom rolled high performance, if you will.
That's an interesting
on Gen 2. Like, if I can actually make a difference using Gen 2 on something like a 10th Gen i5, I will spend that time. Hey, there's Steve.
He joined the chat. Thanks for the super chat. Josh actually made a point. He says he thinks it's funny that Arch users praise parallel downloads when Fedora and OpenSUSE have been doing it for years. And he's not wrong in that. But also, their package managers are slow as hell. So you, even though they've been doing it, it's still garbage on their package manager. You know what I mean? I'm sorry, it's a hot mess. A
bug report if the conversation isn't about Gen 2.
But I mean, you know, their package managers are just slow. You know, I mean, so what benefit is it if they're doing it? It's not working. Whatever they're doing, it's not working. You know what I mean? Where with Pac-Man, yeah. Dude, you notice it instantly. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So to me, that's a mute point there, Josh. Sorry, bud. He says, in his honest opinion, speed benefits aren't worth the effort.
Yeah, since when is Josh going to go anti-Gen 2? You know, he's finally got us all agreeing on the good points of Gen 2, and then he goes off running the other way. It's not worth it. What?
Sprinkle says that work was great. He only worked a 12-hour shift today. I know those struggles, man. I just got off of 10-hour, mandatory 10-hour shifts like a week ago. So I know those struggles.
Thank you, Steve.
You know, so tell me, you know, you made your switch to Endeavor, and so far you're loving it, right?
Yeah, I really, really, really like Arch-based distros. And, you know, if you followed me over on the Zero Linux podcast, I was using Zero as my daily driver, no distro hopping, for probably a year or two. And I like the flexibility of the AUR and things like that, because I don't like using PPAs on Gen 2 or sorry, everybody's been saying Gen 2 so much. Yeah. I meant to say Ubuntu derivatives and I said Gen 2. Josh is gonna cancel us for that.
He's gonna file another bug report.
But yeah, Endeavor's been great. I really, really like just how fast it feels. It feels very snappy. It feels very lightweight. But I'm guessing that has more to do with stripping down to LXQT than the distro itself. I'm still trying to feel it out.
Right. So I guess so. With you, you're liking the snappiness and the quickness of it being so light right now, right?
I like that I'm getting eye candy and lightweight.
Eye candy and lightweight. Yeah. What is it hitting on your resources?
Let's see. If I pull an H top right now.
I mean, you should be with everything running. You got OBS running, you got Discord running. So I'm figuring you're going to be at least 5 or 6 gigs, right?
I am at 5.4 gigs.
Oh, out of close. And then available. Let me guess, CPU usage. You're going to be right around what? Maybe 7-8%, 10% maybe.
Let's see. My GUI says 15.
Okay.
I like straight up top more than H top, and there were hovering between 9 and 15 of my, and it's a 10th gen i5 mobile.
Nice. So yeah, I mean, I loaded, you know, Endeavor, and I've tried it. I don't think I've done a review on it. Maybe I did. I can't remember.
Steve would like enlightenment. Are you mixing me up with Steve?
So anyhow, I did my review of Endeavor, and what I played with it for a while, and I was on it for a while. For me, it worked fine. It was okay. I mean, as any distro, I can make any distro fly if I had to. You know, yeah. I mean, I can make any distro fly, but for me, I just didn't like there. It was way too much purple. You know, I spent so much time theming. To me, out the box, it just didn't appeal to me, really. The look, the feel, the layout. You know what I mean? It just didn't appeal to me. So I never really gave it a proper shot. But in talking to you and seeing what you did with it, I think I might actually try to give it an actual proper shot.
Endeavor?
Yeah.
The Calamares installer that they're using is very well polished. It feels good.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of stuff that we can talk about on a re-review.
Yeah. And that's so after I got off the meeting with you, Matt, because we were talking, I was telling you that last night as well. You know, and after talking to you, I was thinking, you know, I don't think I really gave it an actual proper, you know, earnest try, just because it put me off by all the colors and stuff. I mean, it was just a lot of purple and a lot of, you know, just up in your face kind of stuff, you know? And so
And you've touched on this before, and a lot of other creators have touched on this before. Putting a wallpaper and a DE or WM or both, mm-hmm. and some theming, that's not a distro. That's a rice or a skin. It's not mm-hmm. a distro.
Right.
And a lot of distros are just decorating another distro and calling it a spin or a distro or.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And so I think maybe that's why I didn't give it a proper try. But, you know, I think I'm going to go back and I'm going to revisit it and maybe do a review on it, unless you want to do the review on it. But, we could talk about it.
We can put that on my tab.
Yeah. And then we could do that. That's true. That is true. DT makes a solid point that it does offer an online and offline mode, which I think a lot of distros should be doing that because, like I said,
correct.
You know, in a lot of the major portion of the Linux community users are in an area where they don't have access to solid internet all the time. That's what we call pointless distro.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I mean, it's just one of those things where, you know, like I said, I didn't really enjoy the look of it so much, so I kind of like disregard it, especially when you got 600 plus other distributions to look at. You know what I mean?
Right.
It just didn't rate. But after hearing you rave about your experience with it, and that's what I was wanting you to kind of talk about, is how you lightened it up and made it really nice and how it flows really well. That maybe we could take a second look at it.
Yeah, and I think it's really cool. I'm struggling to extract as many years from this laptop as I can. I'm over here padding it for good luck.
Well, you know, I don't know. I've been very fortunate that Linux has made all of my, no matter what, I mean, you can put like XFCE, you know, on a laptop, something lightweight, or my desktop, you know, no matter how ancient the hardware gets. And I've got some sitting around here, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And it just, you know, it's, to me, you know, that's why I love Linux. That's why I stay with Linux, because I have control over my stuff. I have control over my hardware. I have control over old hardware that is still maintained, you know, working and supported. And, you know, I can get by with it.
Yeah, you know? I've rescued quite a few machines from the folks at church with Linux for different stuff, and it's really good at that job. Like, if you have donated computers that you want to distribute to the community or something, some version of Linux is a great way to get that out.
Absolutely. And, you know, also, you know, the other part that I like about it too is you're giving people, you know, their another view of the computing world that they probably never had or understood. You know, they thought, oh, I can't do that, or I can't use that. That's because, you know, for the longest time, Linux was like, that's the geek's toy. You know what I'm saying? That's the true hardcore geek's thing. I mean, it still is, but it's become so viable now that you can do that, do the rescues for a good reason, and still give them the ability to actually understand what they're using and see what they're using. Because back, you know, I mean, it goes from being just a bunch of, you know, command line interface to actual, you know, GUIs, which we all know I'm more of a terminal, you know, terminal professor.
Yep, yep. Be great to see more distros try MAUI kit from KDE.
Oh my God. So yeah, you know what MAUI kit is? That is such a great point. And I was actually, they just did, MAUI kit just came out with an actual update, man. MAUI kit is pretty amazing. And you know, it gives developers the ability to write code for multiple different devices. So that's pretty awesome, man.
Yep. You need Josh says he needs me to pound the free software drum.
Yep, Nitrix does use MAUI. That's right. So yep. Anyhow, that is it for today's stream.
Yeah, we're a little bit over. Sorry, guys. We got, you know, some good conversation. And why not?
Yeah, why not? But you know what, man? I will say what we always say, man. You guys keep doing what you're doing. Keep on Linuxing. Stay blessed. Have a great day. And above all, we'll see you in the very next one. Have a good one, guys. Yes.